Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome all of you to worship on this fourth Sunday of Advent as we gather to worship and to glorify our great God. Hopefully each of you has a worship bulletin to follow along in our liturgy. I wanted to call your attention to a little tan slip in your bulletin. If you would grab that, fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plate when that comes by later on in the service. And also there's a place on the back of this tan slip for you to write down any prayer requests that you may have. And it's a little chilly this morning, and we were unable to turn the heater on. The boiler room has some flammable materials in there from the roofers, and so we thought that would be a better choice to just sit in the cold and let our bodies warm this place up than have the possibility of a fire. So, but anyway, there are a couple announcements I wanted to call your attention to this morning. First of all, we have our annual Christmas Eve service at 6:30 p.m. on Thursday night, and so we look forward to gathering here in the evening and having a service of carols and readings with a brief message, and we always conclude that service with a little candlelight singing of Silent Night, and so wonderful time to come down if you're able. And then also the next two Sundays, December the 27th and January the 3rd, we customarily do not have Sunday school after our worship service. We will have our typical fellowship and snack time, so we do invite you to remain even for an extended time fellowship, but there will be no Sunday school for the next 2 weeks. There is Sunday school today, however. And then also, just a note in the bulletin about year-end contributions. You can read that if that pertains to you. So other than that, if you have any electronic devices, ask if you would turn them off or put them in the mute or vibrate mode, and thus prepare our hearts to worship as we listen to the prelude.
The fourth candle is the angel's candle. It anticipates Christ's second coming and focuses on his finished work of salvation. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth in the town Galilee to the virgin to be pledged to be married to the man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you."
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end."
"How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." The angel left her. Luke 1, 26 through 38.
Amen. I invite you to stand as we glorify God in song, singing our opening hymn medley, and the words are printed in your bulletin. you pray with me? Father, it is with the angels that we worship and glorify you this morning. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, that he is the eternal King who will righteously rule and reign over your kingdom forever. Father, we ask that you would draw near to us, that you would find our worship pleasing in your sight, for it is in the name of Jesus and by your Holy Spirit that we approach you in worship. All glory be to you, Father, eternal Son, and Holy Spirit. You are one God forever. Amen. Well, following along in your bulletin, let's join our voices together in declaring what we believe. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, who was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, and we acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. And my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. And this is the word of the Lord. We come now to a time of confession. If you are able, I invite you to kneel before the Lord. Father, we are unworthy servants. So often we doubt that you truly love us, that you delight in us. And as a result, we self-centeredly take care of our own comforts and needs before we strive to meet the needs of others or to glorify your name. And so, Father, in this brief time of silence, would you receive our prayers of confession as we repent of all of our sin? And Father, would you hear us as we all pray together? Mighty God, you came in weakness. Forgive our grasping for power. Prince of Peace, you came in humility. Forgive us for exalting ourselves. Everlasting Father, you came in poverty. Forgive us for wanting more than others. Wonderful Counselor, you came in gentleness. Forgive us for the anger we speak and the pain we cause. Child of Bethlehem, be born in us today. Forgive us, heal us, make us new. We join the angels in singing your praises this Christmas and all the days to come. Amen. We'll hear the gospel of Christ coming from Ephesians chapter 2. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 5 through 10. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. And this is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time of the year. We thank you for the beautiful music that we hear, sung in honor of our Savior, Jesus. Father, we thank you for sending your only begotten Son to save us from our sins. Father, I would pray as a pastor and an under-shepherd today that you would quicken our hearts, that we might know you, that we might love you, follow you in obedience. Father, you would have your will and your way in our church and in every one of our individual lives. Father, we pray for our world today. We ask that you would bring peace, peace to hearts that are riddled with fear, with anxiety and pain, with loss. Father, we ask that you would open hearts to be receptive to the gospel around the world, and thereby bring peace as only you can. Not as the world gives, but as Christ alone can give. Father, indeed, we pray for the witness of your church worldwide, especially during this time of the year. We ask, Lord, that you would work through your missionaries. And Father, work through us as evangelists, where we work and where we go to school, where we recreate. We pray that you'd bless our efforts. Father, I pray this morning for this flock that, Lord, you would be with those who are sick and ill, those who deal with disease. We thank you for your hand in our lives. We thank you for your sovereign purposes. Help us, Lord, to find peace and rest in you today. Bring healing to those who are sick. Bring peace to those who are troubled. Father, bring a sense of your glory upon all of us. Help us to exalt the living Christ. Lord, bless us throughout the holidays and help us to continually cling to you, the lover of our souls. We ask now that you would move us closer and closer to thee through all the elements of this worship service. Even as we pray that model prayer that you taught us so many years ago, saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us of our debts, we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then skipping down to verse 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of the Lord. Well, I invite you to stand as we glorify God in song, singing hymn number 213, What Child Is This? Our offertory statement this morning comes from 1 John, and this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Would you pray with me? Father, we give You thanks that You came to us in Jesus Christ and that Jesus laid down His life for us. And therefore, as an act of worship and obedience, and with great joy, we bring to You our tithes and our offerings. We ask that You would use these gifts for Your glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's stand in honor of our King. Please be seated. I want to thank the choir and the musicians who've done such a beautiful job all four Sundays in Advent. And we'll have more beautiful music on Christmas Eve as well. But I'm very grateful for the gifts and talents and skills that God has given to this body of Christ. Well, we come to the fourth Sunday of Advent this morning, and Haggai is an Old Testament prophet. One of the shortest books in the Bible, but with a very, very powerful message. As one of the minor prophets, one of the post-exilic prophets, you remember that the Israelites went into captivity, Babylonian captivity, around the first part of the 6th century. And then they were able to return 70 years later in 538. B.C. Haggai served as a prophet around 520 B.C. Approximately 50 Jews returned to Jerusalem, and they came back and they began to build the temple. Subsequently, the temple was stalled as a result of a conspiracy to the then king of Persia, Darius. Darius would lifted the impediments to the building of the temple, and the Israelites were able to lay the foundation sometime later, according to Ezra 6. This book gives us a picture, I think, of encouragement and a word of hope for the future. That's what we emphasize on the fourth Sunday of Advent. We light the angel's candle, and it anticipates not only the first coming of Christ, but also his second coming. We know that Christ one day will return, and come for his church. And I believe the prophet Haggai pictures that for us this morning. Let's pray as we study for a few moments. Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we wish to see Jesus and him only. Speak through these ancient words, your word. Bring them to life in our hearts by faith. And we'll give you the praise and glory for all that you will do. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't have a copy of the Word of God, the passage is in front of you in the bulletin, the first reading. I want you to notice two things this morning. One, the Lord God speaks through Haggai and gives a word of encouragement in the present. A word of encouragement in the present. That's in verses 1 through 5. And then secondly, you'll notice that God gives a word of hope for the future in verses 6 through 9. So first of all, the word of encouragement. These Jews come back and the temple of God, the temple of Solomon, which was so beautiful and grandiose, took approximately 7 years to build, has been leveled. And so the Jews returned from exile, and they began to build, and they laid the foundation. But the work is stalled, not only because of pagan rulers, but also because of the lethargy on the part of God's people. And so God comes, and he speaks through the prophet Haggai, and he says essentially three things by way of encouragement. First of all, he says, I understand that the past appears better than the present. Look at verse 3 with me. God tells Haggai to speak to the people, and he says, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Zerubbabel's temple was not in any way like Solomon's temple. It was much smaller. It was less ornate. It didn't seem like things were right as they were in the past. And the Lord confronts it. We don't know that the Lord heard that from the people. Perhaps he just simply read their minds and realized that they saw this temple as something smaller, something less glorious than the past. The past appears to be better than the present. A second thing that God says, nevertheless, be strong and work. Look at verse 4a. But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. It's very easy to get discouraged. We look at the past. We see things were often better, or at least they appear to be, than they are right now for us. And that's the way God's people were. They went away into exile for 70 years, but the Lord released them from exile. And just like God told Joshua, the Joshua entering the promised land, he tells this Joshua, a different Joshua, to be strong. In fact, he tells all the people, the king, the priests, and the people, be strong. In both situations, the Joshua prior to this, although God strengthened his people, it was up to them to apply their effort as he directed. The same partnership holds true today. God speaks to our hearts, and he tells us, don't dwell on the past. Be strong and look toward the future. A third thing he says, I am with you. My spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Look at verses 4 and 5. But now be strong. In the end part of verse 4, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. Some of the people may have thought that the exile was a sign of God's covenant finish, or that continued curse indicated God's rejection of his people, but this was not so. God's gifts and calling are irrevocable, according to Romans 11:29. And God's Spirit is never driven off of his elect people permanently. We may sin, they may sin, and we may sense God's presence go away for a while, but he returns in faithfulness. This reassurance is given in James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. Whenever we feel far away from God and we seek to close with God, the Bible makes it clear, he will close with us faster than we can close with him. He jealously desires the spirit that he has made to dwell in us. You know, back in Ezekiel, his vision, the glory of God, left the temple in Jerusalem due to the wickedness of the people, but only to go with the exiles into Babylon. Now the people are reassured that God's Spirit has returned from Babylon with them in order to stay with them. People were told not to fear, but to press on boldly. And this instruction shows God's people should not allow themselves to be prevented from obeying God by fear, regardless of our circumstances. Let me apply this for a moment for our church as we move forward into the future. It's easy to look back and say, why doesn't Seminole look like the Seminole of old? I went to a wedding last night in Lakeland, Florida, and sat down and saw a man and met a man I never met before. Of course, as is my lot for the past 11 years, he knew all about Seminole. He used to be a part of Seminole. He was aware of Seminole. And he said, how many members do you have now? And I told him, approximately 140 to 150. He says, oh, appeared to be sad news. I said, yes, there's a lot going on at Seminole. The Lord is with us, we believe. We're rebuilding in many ways. We are church in the wilderness in many ways. We're not looking to the past, we're looking to the future. He was encouraged by those words. And I was encouraged as I thought about Haggai. That's why Ecclesiastes says, don't walk around saying, where are the good old days? Why are the days in the past better than the days now? The Lord God says, no, don't do that. Let me encourage you right now as a church. Let me encourage you as individuals. The past can often seem better than the present. We lose a spouse or a loved one. And think about all the years we've been with them. Or there's the effects of sin in our lives and lives of others. And we look back and we regret what took place back then. The past isn't so much better, it's worse. And yet we can't seem to shake it. And the Lord God comes and says, even when you're returning from exile, when you're coming back to me, be strong. I am with you. You don't have to fear. Christmas time, lots of folk come back to church. And subsequently, we hope, come back in their personal relationship to the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord always welcomes with open arms. He says, be strong. I am with you. But now don't think this is some sort of a self-help type speech from God. Some sort of encouragement that is empty. Because God goes on. And you see in verses 6 through 9 this shift from the past to the future. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. And I want you to notice, again, three things. Number one, the God who spoke at Sinai will speak again. And His future word will be through the desired of nations. Look at verses 6 and 7a. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. God speaks and things happen. The Bible says in Hebrews, God spoke the world into existence. The Bible makes it clear that God spoke from Mount Sinai. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 says, when he speaks of the Old and New Covenant, that Sinai was a mountain where God spoke and there was fear. In fact, the people told Moses, you go talk to God and then come back and tell us what He says because we are afraid. If anyone touched the mountain, man or beast, they would be stoned. And the writer of Hebrews compares Mount Sinai to Mount Zion. That is the heavenly Jerusalem. And it says, we who are believers in Christ belong to that place, that kingdom. Yes, God's final word is in the desired of the nations. And we know from so many other places in Scripture, as the prophets often talk about, that He's referring to Messiah, the desired of nations. He will come. Notice the second thing God says. He said He will fill this house with greater glory than before. Look at verses 7b through 9. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. In the Old Testament, glory was often associated with money, with financial resources, with gold and silver. But it also considers the presence of Almighty God. So what the Lord is saying is, my glory that you've seen whenever I delivered you out of Egypt, my glory that you saw in the wilderness, my glory I will not give to another, and I will manifest it to you. And even though you have sinned and it led you to bondage in Egypt, even though its sin led you to bondage in Babylon, I will deliver you. And how will this house have a greater glory than before? That's where the Lord Jesus Christ comes in so plainly. If you look at the reading that we had this morning from the Gospels, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And John goes on to talk about the preparation and the creation that the triune did through the Son. And then in verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. Jesus manifested the glory of God. The writer of Hebrews says in the first chapter that God spoke through the prophets in so many ways in various portions, but now he has spoken to us finally in his Son. That's why it's so important to consider the Lord Jesus above and beyond every other religious figure in human history. Jesus didn't come to give us ethical lessons. He didn't come to teach us morality. He came to die for us. He came to speak to our hearts. He came to enter our hearts by faith. And that sets him apart from every other religious figure in human history. The Word of God inside of our hearts. That's why we read Hebrews. Hebrews 5 makes it clear. He set aside the first, the old covenant, to establish the second. When the Lord Jesus came, he came in order to die. And he shed his blood on Calvary so that all the elect children of all time, all their sins would be paid for in full. The Spirit of God would speak to each and every heart and draw them to himself. This latter house will have greater glory, not because of the external accoutrements with gold and silver, not because of the size of the house or how long it took to build, but because my Spirit will dwell there. And if that's not enough, I'll send my Son, Jesus. And my Spirit, through faith in him, will fill every heart of every man, woman, and child who believes in me. So important that we experience this glory. I remember being a kid growing up in the First Baptist Church of Orlando, Florida. All the time, people telling us, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to know the Lord Jesus. And I remember sitting in Sunday school in the fifth grade and the teacher saying, is everybody saved? And of course, I raised my hand and I had no idea what it meant to be saved. But I remember later on when I was about 18 years old, the Spirit of God speaking to my heart, and it was as if the Lord God was saying, John, Jesus didn't just die for sinners. He died for you. Died in your place. What are you going to do with that? I acted by faith. I trusted in Christ. I pray you do too this Christmas season. The God who spoke at Sinai will speak again in the future through the desired of nations. The Lord Jesus was born, and therefore the glory of Christ tabernacling amongst us, prefigured in this small temple. It was as if the Lord was saying, get your eyes off the external, get your eyes off the physical, and see that I'm going to send my Son, the Messiah. And that's why we as a church now are called the building and the household of God, the body of Christ, whenever we believe in him, and we are to radiate his glory. And the final manifestation of the glory of God, the full measure of his glory, will be demonstrated when he returns. You'll notice the third item here. God says, I will grant peace. And as I mentioned, I think last time we were together, the peace on earth that Christ gives is not political peace. It's not even religious peace. It's not global peace. It's peace in the heart. Whenever you trust him. Have you trusted Christ? Let me challenge us with these words. is the desire of the nations your desire? What is the greatest desire in your heart? Is it to know the living God? Is it to have a relationship with Him? Or is it something or someone else? Has God spoken to your heart regarding your need for a Savior? Have you embraced the call of the gospel by repentance from sin and faith alone in Jesus Christ? Do you have the peace of Christ in your heart? Not the peace that the world gives. Jesus said, I don't give that peace. I give a different peace. I pray that this Christmas season, you would know the desire of the nations, His forgiveness, and the peace that He offers in a broken world and in your and my broken life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You that throughout sacred Scripture, in the Old and New Testaments, You tell us of the greatest glory of all, as Jesus Christ manifests as much when He came 2,000 years ago. And when He comes again, I pray that we would be ready and eager to meet Him, because He already lives inside of our hearts. Lord, help us to desire Jesus more than anything or anyone else. And may You manifest His presence in every individual here. And may we manifest His presence to the world. Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus. And thank You for coming inside of us and saving us from our sins. Bless us as we act on this word. This week and all throughout the holidays, we make our prayer confidently in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and turn to our closing hymn, which is hymn number 208, Come All Ye Faithful. Let's stand together as we sing. Come and be. We have coffee and fellowship immediately afterwards and Bible study, and all the classes are listed inside of the bulletin. I also want to acknowledge this morning the Matthew McKenzie family. This will be their last Sunday with us. Matthew informed the session a few weeks ago. We had our meeting that because they live in Sefner and their children are growing up, that they are going to align themselves with the Riverview Church, our sister church. And so, like missionaries, we will be sending them out. I can't thank Matthew and Therese enough for all they've contributed to this branch of the body of Christ, especially with the sale of our property on Havana Avenue and enabling us and positioning us for the future for Seminole Church to develop and buy our own property and facilities. So thanks be to God for the McKenzies. Some of you may have already been known by their email. They leave us with great love and anticipation for the future as they live so far away from the church and want to get adjusted to a local congregation that's more suitable for them in terms of proximity as their kids grow up. Anyway, when you see them, tell them hello and bless them and wish them well into the future. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit rest and abide upon each of us who sincerely love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.